Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
We're in a series called Different, and we're talking about being in the world, but not of the world. That's right. We want to be in the world. We don't want to create a colony of Christians that just creates a big fence and we're all safe and we all just draw away into a corner and have a nice time together and grow some vegetables, even though that sounds actually kind of nice sometimes. But that's pretty selfish when it comes to the purpose and plan of what God is wanting to do. And so my invitation to all of us is that we would be a people that are in this world, but we're not necessarily living by the customs of this world. And so I'm going to be talking about Daniel, and we're going to carry on this whole... This is the feel-good story of the Bible, one of the good feel-good stories. Obviously, Jesus is the ultimate feel-good story of the Bible. But Daniel, I got to tell you, who actually knows the story of Daniel and the lion's den? Show of hands. Yeah, a decent amount. Almost every service, it's been about 50 or 60% that do know. So when I was a boy, if that question was asked, it's crazy how the culture has changed. Every single person's like, oh, I know that story. And so I'm going to show you a short video right away to catch everybody up to speed. It's a kid's video because that's the way I typically learn best. It's just like, can we just have it nice and simple here? Nice and simple. And so before I start, though, I want to draw 2 points from Pastor Monica's message last week, which I think are going to be really helpful for us as we move forward. And so the first one is that Daniel, he was a good little Jewish boy. He was captured by the Babylonians, and they wanted to give him a new name. And so they wanted to call him Belteshazzar, which I think is a really terrible name. They probably called him like Belty Boy or something like that, bad name. But it meant Prince of Bel, and Bel was actually one of the Babylonian gods. So they were trying to say, you're no longer a child of God. We want to identify you as a Prince of Bel. You have a new identity, and this is your god. Bel is going to be one of your gods. And so Daniel, of course, refused. Like, when we look at the book of Daniel, it's not called Belteshazzar. It's called Daniel. So he was like, I'm keeping my identity here. And then the second thing is, what was the second thing I was going to tell you? My mind's starting to go a little bit. Oh, that is right. The second thing is that Daniel made a seemingly small decision in our minds and what we see, but it's a massive decision. And he chose not to defile himself. He says, the Bible says, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. So he made a resolution, not like we North Americans would make when it comes to, I'm doing this for New Year's. And then 14 hours later, you're like, kidding. That's not the resolution we're talking about. He made an educated, conscious decision. I'm following my God, and I'm choosing to align my life with him, and I'm going to trust him. I'm going to obey him at all costs. I'm resolving in my heart, my mind, and my body not to defile myself. And so he made a choice to do exactly that, and he chose, it looks like no big deal, he chose just not to eat the food that was provided for him because it wasn't the food that he felt was God-honoring. And so, like, that seems like a pretty small choice in the spectrum of choices, right? It seems like, oh, I just won't eat this stuff. I'll eat this instead. But instead, he with all respect and honor, he made the choice not to defile himself. And so we're going to be talking about Daniel, but I want to catch you up first. This is Daniel in the Lion's Den, Kids Edition. There's not a lot of words, so there's just a few little keywords that you'll hear right away. Why don't we check it out?
Stories of the Bible, Daniel in the Lion's Den. This is Daniel.
Oh, hey!
Who was a Jewish man who was taken to Babylon when he was very young.
Yeah.
Daniel loved God and followed God's rules. He talked to God 3 times a day and asked God for help often. Daniel served in the Babylonian king's court for many years.
Yeah, I know him.
And under many kings.
Hey, Daniel.
Daniel always proved himself to be more capable than all the other court officials.
I hear him.
Hey, drinks.
Wow, anytime.
Daniel was serving under King Darius, and because of his great abilities, the king made plans to place him in charge of the entire empire.
Wow, okay.
The other court officials searched for some fault in Daniel, but they couldn't find anything wrong with him. He was faithful, responsible, and completely trustworthy.
Wait!
The court officials realized the only way to get at Daniel would be to challenge his faith.
Come on!
So they went to King Darius.
Excuse me, Your Majesty.
And advised him to make a law that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone except King Darius will be thrown into the lion's den.
I like it.
King Darius signed this law, and once a Babylonian king signed a law, it could not be overruled. When Daniel learned of this law, he went home and knelt down, as he always did, to pray in his room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he always had done, giving thanks to God and asking for his help. The officials went to Daniel's house and found him praying.
Gotcha!
They went to the king and reminded him of the law.
I remember.
Well...
Then they said that Daniel had been found praying to God 3 times a day.
What?
When the king heard this, he was very upset.
Get over here.
And he spent the whole day trying to think of a way to save Daniel.
Wait, what?
By that evening, the court officials came back to the king and reminded him that no law signed by the Babylonian king could be overruled. So at last, the king gave orders for Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den. The king said to him, "May your God, who you serve faithfully, rescue you." Then the lion's den was sealed shut with Daniel inside. The king spent the night fasting and couldn't sleep. Then very early in the morning, the king hurried to the lion's den. He called out,
"Hey, Daniel!
Was your God able to rescue you from the lions?" And Daniel answered, "Long live the king! My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be taken out of the lions' den. Then the king ordered the men who had schemed against Daniel to be thrown into the lion's den as punishment. Daniel was safe. There was not a scratch on him, for he trusted in God.
And all the children clapped and said, "Hooray!" They just crapped. Well, we said it. There we go. Oh, boy. Great news. So, hopefully you can catch what's happening here in the story. You've got Daniel. You can see that Daniel's pretty old there, actually. And so the cool thing about Daniel is that when he was captured, he was a young man, but he was estimated to be about 80 years old in this situation. So a lot of times when you read the story, at least for me, I was thinking, oh, he's just a youngster still. But it wasn't the case. He actually outlasted kings and kingdoms, and he was no longer under the Babylonian reign. This was the Persians, and they had King Darius. And so it was actually very interesting that Daniel still rose to the top and found favor with the king here also. And so, of course, Daniel's being faithful. He's just minding his own business, serving God, serving the people, and people have it out for him, and he gets thrown in with Mufasa. And I don't know if anyone's have seen the latest Lion King, but that's pretty realistic. And I'm assuming, like, I wish I could see the trailer version even of just what actually went down. I'd love to see from the point he's, like, tossed in there to, like, when the mouths of the lions were shut. What did that actually look like? Because those are real lions. Like, we saw some pretty cartoon ones there, but those were real. So here we have a man, and he is clearly honoring God. This isn't a story. A lot of times when we read the Bible, we find a guy who's like, "Okay, God, I'm living for you. Just kidding for a little while. Okay, I'm living for you again." That's not the case here. This is a man who's like, "God, I am living for you, and I'm living for you today. and I'm living for you this moment, and I'm praying three times a day, every single day, and I will faithfully trust you, God. This is who we're actually talking about. We're not talking about a man who is just all over the place. And so really the rest of the time that I have today, I want to talk about, I have four questions, and I want to talk about how do you live in the pit? How do you live in the pit? Now, if Daniel, a man who was faithful and trustworthy, ended up in a pit, I'm guessing a pit is kind of for everybody. Unfortunately, I don't like to say that, but the pit wasn't punishment. The pit was just something that God had for Daniel so that he could show his goodness, his glory, his mercy, his faithfulness. The pit actually was, Daniel and the pit were kind of insignificant in regards to his choices. Daniel didn't like make a bunch of bad choices and God's finally like, we got to clean this young lad up. No, not at all. He's an old, faithful man who's trusting God. And so the question is, how do we live in the pit? Because either you're in a pit right now, or you're just about to get into the pit, or a pit's down the road for you. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. And when I talk about a pit, I'm not obviously talking about this situation whatsoever. Then again, it could happen, but that'd be extremely rare. What I'm talking about is you might be in a circumstance, in a work situation, where bosses or just employees or people around you, it is seeming like I'm going to get thrown in this pit. Everyone is against me. And in the natural, if God doesn't come through, something terrible is going to happen here. And the pit can represent all sorts of things. But I want to look through these four questions and unpack them on how do we live in a pit and how do we do that well. The first one is, how do we prepare for the pit? How do we actually prepare for the pit? Now, I love this because we look at Daniel again, and we talked about it a little bit before, but Daniel made a resolution. But I believe the resolution didn't just happen when he showed up captured by the Babylonians. This resolution started as a young boy, and just he somehow got a hold of God and was like, this is my God. I am going to trust him. I'm going to follow him. And so once he was captured, he was like, you know what? I've already made this decision, and I'm going to speak it out. And I resolve, and I'm making a resolution not to defile myself. I'm going to trust in God. And for most of us, if you're thinking about it, he's captured, then he gets handpicked by the king's officials to be a helper in the kingdom, basically. And you would think, okay, well, this is God's provision in captivity. Wow, God, you're so good. And they were just provided the king's food. And in this situation, you'd think, well, that's not much of a big deal. Like, just eat the food. No one's really going to notice. You're going to be fine. Just carry on. But God he had gotten a hold of Daniel's heart, and Daniel's like, this is a small little thing that can turn my heart away from you. And I actually, as I was preparing for this, I came across this quote that I think is really helpful in this situation. It says, it's not just the result of your action that matters. It's the direction that you have to turn your heart to do it. It's not the result of the action that matters. It's the direction that you have to turn your heart to do it. So I'm not talking about the big decisions. I'm talking about those private things inside your own life. Your spouse doesn't even know what's going on inside. And so the action might look really good to everybody. It might look great to everybody. But what direction is your heart turning? That's the question. And I love that we can use this individually as a gauge as we are going through life. You can ask yourself the question, and more often than not, you don't even have to ask yourself the question. You know. When you make that little decision where it seems like no one's going to really know, this isn't a big deal, but what direction does your heart have to turn if you make that decision? Is it turning towards God, saying, God, I trust you in this situation. I love you. And I know you have my best interest in mind, and you want to work in and through my life. Or is it, well, God, I would like to keep a little bit of control in this area, and I'm just going to maybe make this decision. Is that okay? Maybe? I don't know about you, but my kids, when they're just like, Dad, can I have the... And they're just like, do you think, Dad, I could perhaps try to have it? We're not doing that with God. right? We don't want to turn our hearts from God. And so the cool thing with Daniel as well, he was already living the life. He wasn't like, oh man, I guess I should, I'm captured. I guess I should pray. And I guess I should just figure out how I should live my life. He took the small steps and he said, you know what? I'm trusting God. I'm not going to defile myself. I'm going to pray 3 times a day and I'm going to continue and I'm going to continue. And you know what? When we follow Jesus, it's more of a walk. It's not a one-time decision. You can make the decision to be baptized and be like, my life's going to be great now. No, that's not how it works necessarily. You have to get out of that tank and then you take a step in prayer. I'm going to begin to walk in prayer. I'm going to regularly 3 times a day. I'm not saying you have to pray 3 times a day. I'm just, you're building that habit of I'm trusting God. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue on this walk. I'm going to continue in a walk of worship where my heart is continuing turning back to God. And I'm going to continue. There's all sorts of things that Daniel built into his life. And godly habits are the seeds of a godly life. And as we continue to be, and it's not about behavior modification, that's not what I'm talking about, but as you align your heart and you're just saying, God, I'm trusting you in prayer again. I'm trusting you, even though my boss doesn't acknowledge me and he just blows up at me every single day and doesn't care about me. I'm trusting that in this situation, you're just going to use me and somehow your glory is going to be seen in the situation. Somehow. And so it's really a test of the small things. Are you resolving in your heart with the small things? My encouragement would be if you know an area where you're slightly turning, it could just be just the smallest of turn where you're like, God, maybe not quite this area. Invite somebody who you trust, who's also a Christ follower, into that walk with you and just say, hey, could you keep me accountable with this? Could we talk about this regularly? That's a great way. I'm sure Daniel had some people in his life that he could chat with also. The second thing is, as we're preparing and how do we live in a pit, is what do we do when we find ourselves having to choose between following God or following the world? The question is, what do we do when we find ourselves having to choose between following God or following the world? I love this answer in Daniel 6, verse 10. I think this is awesome. But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down, as usual, in his upstairs room, with its windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed 3 times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to God. When you're faced with, do I make a compromise or do I follow and trust God? What did Daniel do? Just as he has always done, as usual. And so, first of all, we make a resolution. And then the second thing is, when that resolution is tested, we just continue to carry on. Now, in this case, it wasn't like option A is, okay, just turn away from God. And option B is, well, you'll just kind of get just a little slap on the wrist. No, it was turn away from God or trust him. And in the natural, it looks like you're going to your sure death. Like you are done for. And so I don't know if you found yourself in a situation through relationships or it could be a school situation or sports team or family or whatever it might be, a work situation where you know, that you either God's saying, choose me and follow me, or it's looking like you're going to have sure death here. It's like you're going to be canned. You're going to be excommunicated from the family. You're going to be fill in the blank. It's just not going to be good for you. That's a situation I'm talking about. And what do? You carry on as normal in that prayer walk, right? In that worship walk, in that continuing to trust that God is going to do what he wants to do. And you might be finding yourself in this situation and you think like, God, what did I do to deserve this? Let me just tell you, that situation most likely isn't even about you whatsoever. That situation wasn't about Daniel whatsoever. God just saw a faithful man. He says, I can see that faithful man right there. I'm going to use him to show my goodness and my glory to so many. And I know that when he goes in that lion's den, he's just going to trust me. And I think that's so powerful. And so he carried on just as he had always done. Daniel continued on. Third question, what do we do when we're actually in the pit? All right, the sentence has come. The pit is opened up. Woo, he's been thrown in. once again, I'd love to see, like, in heaven, I'm just going to, like, sit down in God's theater room and just take it all in. What was it really like? I think it's going to be incredible. And so, but what was it really like? Like, you've got Mufasa in there, right? And Mufasa is not happy. Scar. Yeah, maybe Scar more. But they're all in there. And none of them are happy. Probably some hyenas in there too. You never know. Yipping at you and gonna get you. So you're in the pit. What do you do when you're actually in the pit? You might be in a pit right now. Depending on your situation, you are thinking, sure, death is going to be happening. Like, there is no way naturally out of what's going to happen here. I am stuck. And what do you do when you're in the pit? Well, I love what happens here. This is the time where we actually activate our faith. It's easy to have faith in God when things are going wonderfully. God, you're so awesome, man. I trust you so much. You're incredible. What happens when everything is against you and you've been living with integrity and you've been living with character and you've been trusting God at every turn when it seems unreasonable? I'd be like, God, this doesn't seem reasonable to me. I've been trusting you. I pray every day. Can you just do a little bypass around the pit? No, there's no bypass around the pit. God wants you in the pit, not so that you can learn a lesson a lot of times. Daniel, I'm sure he learned a lesson in there, but more so, he was in the pit to show the goodness of God. And if you can shift your perspective of, you know what, I'm in a pit right now, not because I'm being punished, not because God wants to hurt me or whatever it is, that's a lie. God has you in that position because he trusts you. He has you in that position so that you can actually show his goodness to the people around you. And so what do you do when you're in the pit? Well, it's like, this is the hell or high water moment. God, you're either real or you're not. And so I'm going to trust you. And so he activates his faith in God. I'm going in there because this is just, I've made a resolution and I'm not breaking that resolution. I am trusting you. And so he continues to worship. He continues to pray. He continues to declare, this is a good one. He continues to declare the goodness of God. I am confident that in there, he wasn't like, oh, woe is me. And we'll see by his response how confident he was. He declared the goodness of God. And I think sometimes we get in situations and it is not easy. I think we all kind of know that. It's not easy to say, oh God, you are so awesome. You are so faithful when you're in the pit. It doesn't work that way naturally. But Daniel had resolved. He said, God, you are good. I am confident he would be declaring his word. So if you find yourself in a pit, how do you live in the pit? You continue to worship. You continue to pray. You continue to declare God is good. God is faithful. God is trustworthy. God is love. You begin to just continue over and over and over. And it doesn't matter how long that pit season lasts. You continue to declare that goodness because that's actually his truth over your life and your circumstance. It's not magic. It's actually just, it's what you're doing is you're aligning your life with what God already says about you. That's actually what's happening. So you're not just, this isn't like magic fairy dust that you're just kind of sprinkling around like, well, God, you're just throwing the Hail Mary down there. And it's like, well, hopefully you can show up. It's like, no, God, I know you're faithful. I know that you called me in this situation. And even though the enemy's all around me, the enemy is fully all around him at that time. I know that you're faithful. I love in Psalm 23, most of you would know it. If you don't, there's a section in it's the Lord is my shepherd section of the Bible in Psalm 23. And it says, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies is what the Bible says. Isn't that a unique scripture? Like when you read it, like kids, as a kid, I just like memorized that verse so I could go to camp. But you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. What does that actually mean? God sees that. What that means is God sees you in the pit. And even though you're encircled by your enemies, God will prepare a table. Well, what does a table represent? Community. It represents fellowship, nourishment. God is going to give you the things that you need. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. So don't give up. Keep holding on. And then the final question is, what do you do once you get out of the pit? I love Daniel's response. This is just incredible. The very first thing that he says that's recorded, at least in the scriptures, it's not like, King Darius, you're a stupid beep, 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 beep. I thought we were friends, and here I am, beep, 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 but God came through, and I still hate you. What does the scripture say? You can put that up. Long live the king. Man, I think we can learn a lot from that. Daniel answered, long live the king. You might have been wronged, mistreated, and it was completely unjust. Like, it was unfair. It was not fair whatsoever. And you have all the right in the world to stand up to coworkers or family members or just a friend, peer group, or whatever it is, and say, see, I told you so. That's not what Daniel did at all. Long live the king. He brought honor. I think that's so incredible. He brought honor to the person that put him in the pit. So for you in your situation, what do you need to do? You might have just been rescued out of that pit, and you want to just give some body gestures to people and say some choice words to people. But what are you going to do? Long live the king. He brought honor in that situation. And I think that that is something that we can learn from so much. And the rest of that verse, you can put it back up there, Eric, says, my God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so that they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty. He continued to honor. He continued to trust that his God was greater than any other God. The God named Bel or whatever. Whatever other gods are out there. Say, God, you are faithful. I do trust you. I'm sure he just had a big old worship party after that. And once he got out of there, dusted himself off and said, well, looks like I'm about to go pray. Went back to his house, and I'm sure that's exactly what he did. He's like, it's prayer o'clock. Guess it's that time. So, oh man, it's so good what our God, that God would actually even give us this story that we could learn from it. And so my encouragement, you might have just gone, you might have just remained so faithful, and you're in a pit right now, and you're just thinking, God, there's just no way out. Let me tell you, there is a way out. Our God will provide a way out. And so I want to invite us all to stand right now. And I want to just give us an opportunity to just pray together. Prayer is so powerful. And when you begin to pray, you're actually praying God's word. You can align yourself and your heart with him. And so I just want to pray hope over people right now. You might have been disheartened, or you might have lost your faith that God, like, God, I've done every single thing. God still sees you. God's going to close the mouths of those lions. So with everybody's eyes closed and heads bowed, if you just want to put up your hand, if you're in a pit right now and you want prayer, I'd love to pray for you. I know that God wants to do powerful things in your life still. And God wants to use you as a representation of his goodness in that situation. So God, right now, with hands raised all over this place, God, we're believing, first of all, that you are faithful. God, we declare the goodness of God. God, you are so incredibly good, even when we don't see it, God. Even when we find ourselves in a pit with the lions surrounding us, God. God, you are still good, and you are not finished yet. And God, I just pray continued integrity and character over people. God, I pray for hope to rise up in people's hearts. God, where there's lack of faith, God, I speak your word over them. God, that people will hear your word today, God. They'll hear that you are a good God, that you are a faithful God. And God, that people will not give up. God, and I just pray that every bit of glory will go to you, God, that we will say, long live the King. You are the King, God. We thank you so much. And as we continue in an attitude of prayer, I just want to invite you guys can put your hands down if you want, and we're just going to continue to pray. And I want to give an opportunity to respond to Jesus. And, you know, we talked about just making that choice. Daniel resolved early on that he would serve God. Well, the greatest resolution that you can make, is that you would resolve to trust and follow Jesus. And so I'm going to give an opportunity right now for people to actually resolve to follow Jesus. And I've said it like this a few times before, but when Jesus cried out on the cross, you know, my Father, why have you forsaken me? You know, when it all went down, the words that were spoken are it is finished. And a lot of times we're waiting for God to start something, but God's already finished it. And so imagine, the example I've used before is imagine you have a winning lottery ticket. You've got the $60 million in your pocket right now. All you got to do is cash it in. And so many people in this room have cashed in that winning lottery ticket, if you will. And the fact of the matter is that God has already finished the work. He has already accomplished the work. And that you just need to say, God, I receive that the finished work of Jesus. I receive that work, and I receive the relationship, the friendship, and the hope that is found in Jesus. And so we're going to pray a prayer together. And if you want to pray that prayer, I just invite you to pray it from your heart. We're going to all pray out loud. And I'm just believing that all people all over this room and anyone listening online as well, you can pray that prayer and you can pray this from your heart to Jesus. So let's just pray right now. Say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I worship you. I love you. And I give my life to you. Thank you for the forgiveness of, thank you for the forgiveness of sins, for the hope in Jesus and life in Jesus. I give my life to you, and I want to follow you for the rest of my days in Jesus' name. And a faith-filled church said together, amen. Come on, let's give God praise this morning. God, we worship you.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.